Couple of weeks ago, we started a new year and a new decade. Exciting, isn't it? We have the opportunity to make the same mistakes we've always made in a whole new decade. Or we can take the opportunity for change. Change the way we think and behave, what we do with what we have, how we live, what we believe. We're not. It's all between you and the Lord. This being 2020, I have now heard at least three sermons, podcasts, and read a whole bunch of articles that use the phrase 2020 vision to talk about vision for the next year and for the next decade. So get ready, because this morning, I'm not going to do that. I want to start by telling you a crazy story about something that happened to me back in the 70s. I was working in radio. I worked at CFCH Radio in North Bay, Canada, and I was doing the all-night soft rock show. My shift started at midnight, right after the disco show. Don't judge us. It was the 70s. So I was working one Friday, and I don't know what time it was. It was probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I heard a knock on the window of the control room. On the window on the outside. Now, there was a face pressed up against the glass trying to see in, and it kind of scared my socks off because that window was two stories up. Not something you'd expect. So when I went for a closer look, I saw a young guy standing on the flat roof outside. He'd climbed up on a dumpster, then he'd somehow crawled up a drain pipe, and he'd gone onto that second flat roof, and he was calling for help, although I could barely hear him because we had these double thick extra pieces of glass in there for soundproofing, and so I could kind of make out that he was calling for help. So I put on a long record. A record was a round thing, and you'd put a pointy thing on it and spin it around, and noise would come out of it. So just in case you didn't know that. And I put on a long record, and I ran to the emergency door and let this guy in. And he definitely was in a state. He really wanted help. He said he needed some help rolling over his car. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Crazy. But then he said, no, I got to show you. So I propped the door open so I could get back inside, and I followed him down the slope. Now, behind the radio station, there was a slope that came down like this on one side, like a little valley, and a slope that came down like this on the other side, and there was a little bridge in between. And as we went down, we could tell it was really icy. It was really slick with ice on both sides. And we got to the bottom, and I looked out there. He pointed to the bridge, and right in the middle, sideways and pointing downstream, was an upside-down Volkswagen. Right in the middle of the bridge. Volkswagen used to do commercials that featured an upside-down bug. They were always talking about how, you know, the bug will never die. And so this was part of their deal. But I don't think they had this in mind in terms of how to drive one. Turns out that this young man had come down one slope, and he'd gone across the bridge, and he'd started up the other side, and it was really slick and icy, and it kind of slid sideways, and he came back down the hill, and it rolled over and slid on the ice upside down out onto the bridge. And the only way he was able to get out of the car was because the car had rotated sideways and was pointing downstream and the doors were free. So he had come to get some help to get this thing back on its roof, not off it, on its roof, but off its roof. And so together we were able to push hard and swing this cart around until it was pointing, you know, between the two railings, and we gave it a hard shove, and it went off on the ice and went down into the little dip on the one side. But no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't get that car to roll over and get back on its wheels. We pushed and pushed. So it was time for another record. I ran back inside the radio station, ran upstairs, put a new record on, and then I came back out. And as we got going with trying to get this thing back on its wheels again, another fellow came along. It turned out he had called his friend for help before he came to call me. He hadn't been sure his friend was going to show up, and so when his friend came, we were able to rock this thing, and he kept saying, "Be careful, be careful. I don't want to get any scratches on it." That's what I thought, too, for sure. So we rocked it, and we rolled it on the same side it had rolled over on, so we wouldn't get any more scratches on it, and it came down on its wheels and bounced a little bit, and it was fine. There was actually not too much wrong with it. There weren't any dents. There was just, you know, a series of scrapes on the one door, and the guy said, "Thank you," and he and his friend jumped back into the Beetle, and they drove away. That upside-down Beetle on the bridge was probably one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me when I was working in radio. When we talk about vision, even as Christians, we tend to turn it upside down like that Volkswagen. We talk about our vision. We talk about our goals, our dreams, our plans. But from a biblical perspective, vision isn't about us as much as it is about God. No biblical writer or a character came up with his own plan and then went to God to get a stamp of approval on it, at least not successfully. That's kind of the Santa Claus God that Bill was singing about here before Christmas. You put stuff in your Christmas list and God brings it to you. At least that's the way we, you know, we kind of do it. When it comes to vision, we've turned it upside down so that the word vision becomes our vision as opposed to God's vision imparted to us. Let's face it. It's not God's vision for your life if it doesn't come from God. Amen? The same is true for church. It's not bad to set personal goals in life. It's not bad to set goals for the church. But God should always, always be in the mix, at the center of it. And that's why we're going to spend a significant time in prayer this coming year. This year, we're starting with prayer. And we want to hear from God and keep hearing from God as we go through the year. I think of King Saul, who made some rash decisions. He made his own plans without waiting for God. The prophet Samuel had said, "This is what you need to do. Go here, wait for me, do this. This is from God." But he waited a long time. The prophet didn't come. And so he went off and put his own plans into action without waiting on God's timing. And it eventually cost him his kingdom and eventually cost him his life. If he had listened and obeyed, I think things would have turned out a lot differently. So how do we roll it over? How do we put the Volkswagen back on its wheels? How do we take that idea of vision, which we get so wrong sometimes, and it's no wonder things don't turn out so well sometimes, and how do we roll it back over and get it on its tires so that the vision is really focused on God? I think first we have to recognize and honor God. One of the great things about vacation is it gives you time to think. And for a couple of days on our vacation, maybe more than a couple, Bonnie and her mom both got really sick, and I had a lot of time on my own, and I was sitting there, and I just started thinking. And I was thinking about all the things that God has been doing in my life, you know? It started off with kind of feeling down and feeling sorry for myself, and then you start thinking, well, you know, it's really not so bad. God's been doing these really cool things. And what has he been doing in my life? So I started to make a list, and this is what I want to share with you for a few minutes. What is God doing in my life list? Well, here's some of the things. Let's start with this. God provides what I need, not always what I want. I've not always received everything I wanted. I'm still waiting for that new Lamborghini to be delivered outside my house, and it hasn't showed up yet. I might be waiting a long time. I have not always gotten what I desired, but I have generally gotten what I needed. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, it doesn't say, "Give us today our fine robes and places to live in." It doesn't say, "Give me the latest donkey 2.0 with the long ears so I can hang on when it's running," or whatever the equivalent of you know, status symbol in Jesus' day. You may be aware that towards the end of the year, we were deeply in the red financially. Just one of those funny years. And so we began to pray about it. And I've learned not to leave God out of the mix when we come to the end of the year, because he does all kinds of interesting things. But sometimes you're genuinely surprised when something happens. One day in December, I had to step out of a prayer time on a Wednesday morning to meet with a man who wanted to tell me his story. And I don't want to go into the details because I haven't asked his permission to do that, but let me just give you the general outline of the situation. He had shared this thing about how this church had had a major impact on his life when he was in his late teens or early 20s. This is when this part of the church didn't exist, when there was just the old sanctuary across on the other side. And he felt that this experience he had here turned his life around and set him on a path that really changed his whole life. And he had a long and successful life, and he felt really blessed. And I was really moved by his story because, you know, we don't know who we impact in the church. You know, sometimes it's people that you really, you have no idea that you've touched their life and you've made a difference in their life. So his story meant an awful lot to me. And so at the end of the conversation, we get up to go and he says, I want to give something back. And he hands me a check for $5,000. Now, he had no way of knowing that we were tight for money at that time, but God used him to provide in a rather miraculous way. And he also used many of you to do the same. Now, we didn't end up hitting all of our budget goals last year, but we did far better than we expected because of this gift and because of your faithful offerings to God. Like I said, God doesn't always give us exactly what we want, but he always gives us what we need. God forgives what I don't deserve forgiven. That's grace. When Paul in Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, he means all of us. And I'm very aware that just how much that includes me. I'm aware of just how much I'm short of the glory of God. But as I turn and embrace him, he forgives me, and he never, ever stops loving me or you. He never stops loving you, no matter what. Psalm 103 has some of my favorite verses in it. This part especially, he says, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. I especially like that last part. Here's another thing on my list. God knows all my temptations. Jesus was tempted like this too. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Think about that. Jesus was tempted in every way. What are the implications of that for you and me? What does that mean? I think it means for me that, and for you, I think that Jesus understands the temptations that Satan and the world would throw at us are not beyond Jesus' understanding. Jesus went through it, he resisted, he rejected pursuing sin, and we can find our strength in Jesus to do the same. Here's another thing on my list. God knows my struggles, my hurts, and my losses. I like the image, I've always thought of this image of Jesus walking beside me when I'm walking along, especially when I'm hurting, or sometimes him sitting there and just, you know, there's the closeness when I'm going through something, when I'm struggling with something, or if I'm going through losses I'm experiencing, or losses I may be about to experience. You know, lately at night I've been lying awake at night and not sleeping very well because the death of my mother is imminent, And so I keep waiting for this phone call that's going to come, you know. So I try to sleep, and then I wake up and I go, oh, was that the phone? You know, I just, this has been going on. And one night I just sat up and read scripture and read through a good chunk of the book of Luke. And another night I just talked to God, and there's this sense of his presence that is comforting. You know, that's him sort of sitting there or standing beside you or lying beside you or whatever. But there's this sense of Jesus right there in the moment as we struggle. He knows my struggles. He knows my hurts. He knows all of my losses. And if you're a believer, a Christ follower, it goes beyond his walking with you because he dwells inside of you. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you know intimately God. Well, here's another one. God saved me from my sin and myself. Don't we all contribute a lot towards our own downfall? I know that I wouldn't be standing here now if not for Jesus in my life. I just wouldn't be here. A lot of our struggles are self-inflicted. Not all, for sure, because there's a lot of things that come beyond our control, but salvation comes to anyone who trusts in Jesus, who believes in him, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was raised on the third day. I love that song we sang this morning. It's fairly new to us, the song that sort of converts the Apostles' Creed into beautiful words. And it was just a joy to sing that, this affirmation of who Jesus is and who God is. We believe in God. That he was raised, Jesus was raised on the third day, and that we'll have eternal life with him. And we use the word saved, meaning this, saved from the outcome of our sins, particularly, and I think saved from myself. I have a deep awareness of that. I also have a deep awareness that God does much more than I can list. That list could go on and on and on, and I'm not going to go on this morning, but you could sit down, and maybe this is an exercise you could do on your own, is to make your own list and begin your own list and see where it takes you, because God is working in your life. And I'm also painfully aware that I focus a lot on what God does and what he does for me, but I spend much less time reflecting on who God is. The God who does all of this stuff in my life and a whole lot more is an amazing God. And we see God most clearly when we look at Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the Son of God. He's the advocate, the healer, the provider, the great I am we just sang about, deliverer, redeemer, high priest, King of kings, Lord of lords, our peace, our hope, our rock. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in the end, he's the bridegroom. And we'll be joined with him forever. And I know I need to remember all of that, and I need to focus. So let me give you a couple of quick action points to take home with you today that might help you sort of have the same reflections and journey as I've been having. Remember that what God does is a reflection of who God is. When you see him doing something, track it back and see what it reflects about his character. So first of all this week, remember what God does and spend time this week giving thanks. Thanksgiving is an important part of our personal worship. And the second part of that is remember who God is and worship him. Honor him, give him glory, soak him in, listen to him, embrace him, experience God. Remember, the God who does all this stuff in our lives and is all these things that we've talked about and a whole lot more desires to walk with you this year. He is with you now, in the coming year, and in the coming decade. As I said, a lot of people this month are using this turn of the year 2020 to talk about 2020 vision. But I prefer to tell you to focus your 2020 vision on the God that you serve. Focus on God. He'll provide the vision and everything else that you need. Just keep your focus on God. Don't get it turned upside down like that Volkswagen. Don't get it all turned around so it's about you. Don't make it about you. Make it about Him. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul said, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let's pray. Lord, as we move through this new year and new decade, let us keep our eyes fixed and firm on You. When trials come, let me keep my focus on Jesus. When temptation comes, let me cling to the One who was tempted and didn't sin. I seek not the vision of men, but I seek the vision of God, Your vision, given in Your time. I am Yours. I love You, and I'm here to serve You. And once again, I offer You my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.